sometimes that you just want to hear something good. I'm going to tell you something that has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon, but you need to hear it. All right? You need to hear it, because I have gotten more than emotional with every child that has come along. So now I'm a blubbering mess during, you know, Big Bang Theory, and that's horrible. And it's going off, so now I'm, you know, I feel like a woman. I don't know. So Jamie's driving me. She's not driving me. I'm driving her somewhere, and she's telling this story, which was really bad idea because I was driving, and I'm, you know, bawling. And anyway, so Jamie says, "Hey, did I tell you about this client that came in today?" And I said, "No. Are you going to?" She's like, "Yeah." So she starts to tell me about this client that came in. She said, "You know, it's about 6:30 or so, and this young lady was with this woman, and you know, on first assumption, you know, it was like maybe grandmother and granddaughter, and she didn't go any further. So I was like, why didn't she say that? Is it going to turn out that she stuck her foot in her mouth and it's like sisters or something like that, you know? But no, she said this you know, she sits this girl down in the chair, and she's getting this story about the day. The girl's already in her prom dress. So they've obviously gotten her fitted and gotten her in a dress in the last little bit, all right? She's been taken upstairs. I don't know if you know, but Dillard's has a salon in it. So she has come down in her, you know, updo or whatever it was, obviously just done, and they've come down and, you know, they've asked Jamie if she can do the makeup, and Jamie says that this girl's head's kind of down, and of course then my heart's just doing this. And she's getting a little emotional because she said, it's weird, the more I got on this, the higher this little girl's chin got. So the more makeup and the more things she got done, you could see this girl's confidence level rise. And, you know, Jamie gets finished and she finally asks her, you know, what the, you know, the relationship is. Are you the mom? Are you the grandmother? Are you the sister? Are you the aunt? Something like that, so she didn't look really weird. And the lady goes, "No, I'm the manager of the cafeteria at her school." I heard her come through the line the other day and say she couldn't afford to go to prom. And I thought she should. So this cafeteria worker in this school picks this girl up, takes her to dress, buys her a dress at Dillard's, takes her and gets her hair done and brings her down and gets her makeup done so that she could go to prom with her boyfriend. I told you to get your Kleenexes out. It actually does have something to do with today. Because today, I'm speaking to all of us, but the scripture that we're going to look at is talking to the ladies, okay? And I want you to hear something, ladies. No matter what the world tells you that some of the words I'm going to talk about today means, you're valuable, you're valid, you have a place in this world, and that place is powerful, and you can make a difference right where you are, doing and being everything God called you to be. You can make a drastic, powerful impact in this world. I want to reiterate something that I said. I'm thankful for the kind words about last week for the people who've called or emailed or stopped, and it was mostly women, so guys, I don't know if you just didn't want to hear what I had to say about you, but the women were thankful, all right? So maybe I'll get a boatload of men calling in today, but I doubt it, all right? So listen to me. I want to start the same way I started before. Nothing that I say here will have the lasting impact that it can have and can be comprehended as it should be if this and only this is your aim. All glory and honor be to the God who reigns forever and ever. All glory and honor be unto God who reigns forever and ever. If that is the goal, if that is your purpose, if that is the reason you wake up and how you live until the reason you lie down, bringing honor and glory to God. I'm going to use John Piper twice today. He says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, and the chief end of God is to glorify Himself and enjoy Himself forever. Why? Because He's supreme. And if that is our goal, All the other stuff that he tells us, what happens to us in spite of that, doesn't matter because of what we're chasing. If you realize that this world is not your home, which we're going to see, if you realize that you are an alien and stranger to the land of Me Too, if you're an alien and stranger to the land of elephant and donkeys, if you don't belong here, but you've just checked in for a spell for all of eternity, then you'll get it. But until you grasp that, this stuff becomes Greek. And that's the way it was written. But once you grasp that, the light that shines on who you are as men and who you are as women becomes incredibly bright, and then it shines through you. We're going to look at several verses in 1 Peter, and then we're going to go back and break them down a little bit. Here it is, the feared verse of all verses for women in the Scripture. Listen, listen, I will get somewhere. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of the wife. When they see the purity and the reverence in your life, your beauty should not come from the outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self that is unfading and of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way. Now, wives, in the same way, okay? Other versions start with the word likewise and then say, wives, here's what you do. The first thing we have to figure out is like what? Why is it saying likewise? There has to be something before it for it to be in the same way. In the same way as what? That's the first question. So before you start quoting that verse, let's go back and see what in the same way you are to submit as. Now, you're going to love part of it, but you're going to hate part of it, all right? Here's what it says in the chapter right before. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 18. Friends, I urge you. Friends, I urge you. As foreigners and exiles. He says, let me talk to you about the life you have chosen. If you are a believer, you have a new suit, a new skin, a new person, a new home, a new place. You are different than everything else in this world. You are no longer of this world. You are just in this world with those who are of the world. All right? You understand? You become something different. You're a whole different creature entirely, and you are made for something more. So, in that way, abstain from sinful desires that wage war in the soul. Everybody's always, you know, people, I don't come to church because I feel guilty. I don't come to church because of the hypocrisy. I don't come to church. What was it I posted this week? To say that you don't come to church because the Bible offends you assumes that there's a God who wants to please you all the time. Assumes there's a God that doesn't want to say anything that affects you. That ain't right. God's right. God's going to say what God wants to say. If it offends you, he's going to be like, I'm sorry. No, he's not. He's going to be like, I'm God. Live such good lives among the pagans, this is the opposite of what we are called to be, that they can accuse you of no wrong. This is the idea of trying, making an effort to live above reproach. Nobody gets there, but it is our calling. It is an effort that we must make. Now, I want to stop and I want to say something to you because I'm going to use it in the future, but I heard it yesterday and I can't not let it out. I can't not let it out. Because I've answered this question 100 times and I thought I did good till yesterday. Listen to this. R.C. Sproul was once asked why bad things happen to good people. His response was, it's only happened once and he allowed it. Me too. Everybody in the room is just like, so either you don't get it or you understand the magnitude of it. What a beautiful response. Why do bad things happen to good people? Only happened once, and he allowed it. Only happened once, because he allowed it. You want it a fourth time? All right. Live such good lives that they can accuse you of no wrong, that they may see your good needs and glorify God. Why do we live this way? We live this way so that we are opposite of those of this world. So that those of this world, which used to be the Gentiles, all right, but it's not anymore because we're all now in the ability to become of God. So the opposite of becoming of God is those who do not believe in God. Live opposite them. Submit, submit, submit. So what are we going back to? Yourselves to the Lord. Sake for every human authority. He's about to list the biblical authority understandings. Some of the places in the Bible where someone had authority over someone else, all right? Such as an emperor or governors who are sent to punish those who do wrong. So the first thing is we submit as we submit to the political authority for the sake of glorifying God, all right? We jump down here to verse 17, show proper respect to everyone. Slaves, in fear of God, submit to your master. So there's another authority level, and the idea is that you listen to your master in order that you may glorify God. Not only those who are good. Oh, we now have the selfish question that gets asked all the time. Am I supposed to submit to my master if my master treats me unfairly? Submit yourselves to your master, not only the ones that are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. Why? Because they are not your true master. It is not them to whom your upheaval will cause problems. Your upheaval with them will cause problems for God. Why? Because if you are harsh to them, you act no differently than them, and you are no longer set apart for the hope that Christ has for his people to spread the gospel to others. If we don't live differently, why even be apart? Hence, the word hypocrisy. Hence, why you don't get to point at the other finger, the other person, and say, well, they're not, so I won't. Whoa. We're not chasing them. We're not trying to be like them. We were created to glorify them. Again, if you're not pointing to the right place, the rest of it doesn't matter. So just like you should come up under the emperor, the president, just like you should come up under the governor, just like you should come up under the master, this is what it is like. But if you back up even more, now, to those who believe, listen to me, this is a calling, listen to me, to those who believe. But those who do not believe, the builder has rejected what they've become the cornerstone. A stone that causes people to stumble. They stumble because they disobey. Unbelievers cause people to stumble because they disobey the message. Listen, church. God is about to address the problem. And he's also addressing a problem that we have had in the church over the last 50 to 75 to 100 years. And here's what it is. People who do not know God, people who are born with a sinful and Adamic nature, that's what it's called, the nature of Adam, people who do not have the Holy Spirit of God who has come in and begun to scrape away at all the dead, scrape away at all the hopelessness, bring them the fruits of the Spirit of joy. They walk into these places and we point fingers and we tell them, if you dress this way and you walk this way and you talk this way and you live this way and you follow our rules, you too can belong to God while we put our masks on Sunday morning and walk out there and act like hell the rest of the week. We've got to be different, and we cannot expect those who don't know God to live differently without him. You have him and can't get past it. Why do you expect it of them? The church has punished those who do not know Christ and have demolished Christ's chances with anyone because of hypocrisy. Our sign out front says four simple words, and they've been there for a while, and they'll stay there till we get it. You are welcome here. You means you. Black and white. You means you. Red and green. You means you. Divorced or married. You means you. Orphan or 10 brothers and sisters. You means you, sinner, or think you're a saint. And I'm not sure which is worse. You are welcome here. And church, I am not talking to the non-members. If you're a visitor here, you've never signed a covenant, you don't have to listen to this. The rest of you better listen close. You better make them welcome here. It's your job, it's your call, and you will. And if you don't, I will call you on it. Because there is none who unrighteous, no one righteous, no, not one. And the more we love, and the more I sit in my living room and hear Greg Turner and Dee Dee Turner, Mark Gabbard and Christy Gabbard, when I ask them why they come here, and they say, because you're the greatest preacher we've ever... No. Why do you come here? Because the food. Why do you come here? Because the pews are so soft. No. Why did they show up here? Because they couldn't get in the door before. It didn't matter who they were, where they came from, or how good or how bad an experience they had. We loved them like they were home. And they decided home is where they wanted to be. So, without talking about what submission is, I want to make it clear to men and women what submission is not. Before I do, because y'all are going to start reading all those, because the women are going to be like, I got this. I want you to listen. As a subject submits to a king, as a slave submits to a master, as we submit to God, you are to submit. Listen to your own husband. I want to call that word out there because it's in every translation, to your own husband. You are not called to submit to another man in the way you are called to submit to your own husband. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. There are churches out there who would say, you must submit unto all men. Submit to your own husband. But once you are bound to that man, you are a submitting to his authority in his life. You are called to do it. You must do it. And this whole passage is not just about those who believe, but those who do not believe. Listen, wives, in the same way, submit to your own husbands if any of them do not believe, so that they may be won over. God's glory and the potential salvation of your spouse lies in the balance. And this is why God lays all this out for us. Your submission to your spouse. And I will tell you what that means at the end. I found a definition that I think we can all live with. But because this world is so jacked up, and yes, it's jacked up, and yes, that's what I'm going to say, I want to make it clear what submission is not this morning. Submission is not total agreement with your spouse. All right? Submission is not total agreement with your spouse. Wives, in the same way, submit to your husband, so that if any of them do not believe, the husband does not believe, the wife what? Does agree. Paul's writing, and there's an understanding that's already there. Wives, you can be perfectly in line with God and not believe the same thing that your spouse does. Submission is not total agreement on any given topic. Submission is not checking your brain at the door the day you get married. It is not your call the day you get married and you become one spirit with your husband to also become one brain. Nobody should ask that of you. The two shall become one, and your influence and your wisdom and your grace and your mercy and your kindness can, in fact, win him over. Can't it? Can't it? Sometimes we just got to bite the bullet. But nobody is asking you to not have a brain, to be a robot. Nobody is asking you not to put your opinion in. If the man is doing his job and exhausting himself in service to you, and that man needs to make a decision, and he does not call on his wife and ask her what is going on with the children or with what they're going to do, and let that play in, it does not mean if he does not do what I say, he does not like me. That's where it runs off the rails. I mean, this was said in my office in the last 2 weeks. Hey, I tell him what to do all the time, and he never does it. Tim, did you just ask if it was Jessica? I just heard her say, no, it's not. Ladies, that's where this runs off the rail. Gentlemen, if you ask them out of spite, if you ask them out of it's the proper thing to do, if you ask them with the wrong attitude, you're not asking them anyway. Don't patronize them. Ladies, listen very close. I promise you the divorce rate would change. I promise you the divorce rate would change. I promise you the divorce rate would change. If rather than how good he looks, or how six-pack he looks, or how incredibly long flowing hair he looks, or how pitifully or how well he can cook, if you understand that 15 years down the line, the only thing that brings glory to God is you submitting to a man who treats you with the utmost authority and like the bride of Christ and listen to the words you had to say, and if you knew that before anything else, we'd make it. And men, if you figured out how to let them know that up front, you'd make it too. A lot more I want to say about that, but I don't want it on a podcast. That's just the truth. Amen. Submission is not, listen, submission is not avoiding the effort to bring change. In fact, when you read the scripture here, it is why the effort is put forth. We've heard people say all the time, hey, marry someone for what they are and don't try to change them. I understand the premise, but I ask you, in light of what we just read, is that a biblical approach? You see, sometimes we can say good things that aren't ultimately God things. Now, here's the thing, women. I've been riding on the men. Now I'm going to ride on you a little bit. You can't come into the relationship, think you're going to change them, and expecting God to change them when you want to change them and how you want to change them for what is changing them. The reason that you're there is to be submissive to them and support them in the hopes that God, who does the harvesting, will bring the harvest in your spouse. Not you, God. You plant the seed. God brings the harvest. And you plant, and you plant, and you plant, and you plant, and then you say, but I've lasted so long. I've done it for so long. In God's eyes, you've done it for no time. We're not here for this short little vapor of a moment. We're living this out for an eternity that is longer than you can even fathom. This is the blink of an eye, and this is just a tent. We're headed for paradise. It is not total agreement with the spouse. Guys, listening, it is not checking your brain at the door. Don't be running home, ladies, though, trying to fill them. That preacher said I could tell you whatever I wanted, so here it is. I'm going to lay it out there because there's lots of things you got. I can see it now. Oh, this one's going to get to you. Submission is not putting the husband before Christ. 99.9% of the marriage counseling I do can be boiled down to me, one marker, and that whiteboard, and a list. And most of you, or most of the people who come in my office, I don't need your help making the list. I love you. I do not call you and tell you. I do not point out your flaws. But you come in my office and you say, fix my marriage, I'm going to start listing the reasons your marriage is falling apart. And I'm going to start with your priorities. And when I put kids first, work second, and spouse third, you're messed up. When I put spouse first, sports second, money third, you're still messed up. It goes God first, spouse second, everything you can imagine third. And let me tell you something. Something God gave you gets in the way more than any other time right now. Do you know what it is? Kids. I am loving you, women, but you better hear me and hear me loud and clear. Your marriage will never be the God-ordained marriage God has from you, and your relationship with your spouse will never be what it can be if your children are more important to you than your husband. No matter what you tell me, he says, he does, he acts like. It is God's authority and power that changes hearts. It is your job to be obedient first to him and then to them. Husbands, hear me clear. If they're disobedient to you in favor of obedience to God, they're correct. Do you hear me? Nowhere in this passage does it talk about following God to such a place that you move to their views, which are in contrast to those of God. Nowhere. You will not find it. Submission is not putting the husband ahead of Christ. Submission is not gaining all your spiritual strength from the husband. Women, if you aren't doing your job to stay the course and fill your life with other women who can live and act and breathe according to the scriptures alongside you, if you're not taking in messages, if you're not taking in podcasts, if you're not taking in reading, if you're not doing something to fuel your cup that is not simply based on your husband trying to constantly and consistently fuel your cup, or a husband that has nothing to fuel your cup with, which will eventually, if you lean on him, be the wrong thing that's filling your tank. It's like pulling up to a gas station with only diesel and thinking it's fine, it's a nozzle, I'm paying a bill and putting that in your car. Your car's not going to run right. Christians, we call for unleaded. We call for Christ. We call for what we need, and you need to be filled by something that has it, spiritual things. And the more of that you can get, the better. And finally, and you better hear this one loud and clear, submission is not driven by fear. Submission is not driven by fear. If you are forced in any way, emotionally, sexually, physically, forced by holding things over your head, forced by what you do and don't get because of your actions, if your submission is driven by fear, it is nothing like Christ, and it is wrong. Jesus had an authority that cannot even be comprehended. And he lived in a time where authority was taken by force. The most powerful army to ever rule the earth at that time, and maybe all time, was in charge right then. The Roman army, where it went, it took. And it took with force. And Caesar was called Lord because of his might and power taken by force. But Jesus had an authority that was designated by a Greek word, and that word is exousia. Exousia. And it's an authority taken by what is described in Philippians chapter 2. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be bartered, but he made himself a man. He came down to earth. He didn't just become a man. He became a servant. He didn't just become a servant. He humbled himself even unto death. Not any death, but the worst death imaginable. God's way up was down. His authority comes by how he looked at people, how he loved people, how he embraced people, how he treated people, how he saved people, how he took on the woman at the well, how he took on the woman who was not stoned, how he loved those the 10 virgins, how he loved the paralytic at the pool who was looking at something completely different, how he loved us in our ignorance and caused us to dance because he's dad. An authority taken because of who he was and how he served. That is how you earn submission. But women, even if it's unearned, you're not called to bring glory to him. You're called to bring glory to God. But in doing so, incredible things happen. So I'm going to steal John Piper's definition of submission. Here it is, ladies. Biblical submission, according to John Piper, and I stand in agreement. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to joyfully and fearlessly honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help carry that leadership out according to her gifts. Listen, to help carry it out according to her gifts. You know what I'm thankful for my wife? Not just all the things she does around the house, not just all the things in our marriage, not just all the things she's doing as a new mother. Listen to me. I'm thankful that she's a really, really, really good manager who really, really knows how to treat people. And because she knows how to treat people well, and because she knows how to manage, She has risen up in the ranks so that I can serve at Nicholasville Baptist Church and we can financially support our family because she gives 36 hours a week doing what she's talented at to help me pay the bills. It is not her job to help me pay those bills and fix my dinner and fix my breakfast and take care of the diabetes in our child and take care of the baby and do the laundry and do the bed. I gotta pick up some of the slack, same as her. Because she's called to help me carry it out according to her gifts. And I will be darned if I won't let those gifts shine, even if they're outside our home. Ladies, please don't fight me, God, or the scripture on this. I don't care what the world says, it's wrong. Wives are supposed to submit to the husbands to the glory of God. And if that occurs, listen to me, in one house, in three houses, in five houses, in 20 houses, I promise you, the wildfire of servant leadership and exousia authority will spread because people will really want what it is you got. Because I can promise you this, when your service gets better, when your communication gets better, when your ability to forgive gets better, all the other something-somethings get better too. They do. And I don't care that that goes on the podcast. God made sex and it's good. I mean, there must not be a lot of sermon going on because I got one amen. I got one amen. So either y'all are afraid of it again, or you just don't want to say, woohoo! But I promise you, your husband again, yeah! Submission is the divine calling. The divine calling of a wife to joyfully and fearlessly honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help carry it out according to her gifts. Can I get an amen? Good luck, ladies. It's true. But I promise you this, and my wife will probably tell you, for the last two or three weeks as I've started working through this, I'm exhausted. And I'm still not getting it right. But I'm exhausted. And I'm glad. And I believe with all my heart, as much of a poo head as I can be, that my wife is too. All right? Husbands, exhaust yourselves in the service of the beautiful spouse God gave you. Wives, submit to your husbands and joyfully and fearlessly honor them with the headship that Christ gave them. And good things will come of it because God honors His word. Next week, children. After that, parenting. I will talk to the parents next week, but it's for the children. Some of them are. We're going to leave third grade and down, but we're asking fourth and fifth graders plus the teens to join us, okay? All right? So that's who's going to be in here. We didn't know how far down to go, so we looked at our lists, and third and fourth graders are going to be in here. And so, yeah, next week to the children. After that, we're going to talk parenting for at least a week, maybe two. All right? Let me pray, and then I got a couple things to tell you. Father, may you totally empower the wives because we are idiots and we need your help and they need your help dealing with the fact that we need your help. But God, I pray that because you are never wrong and because your divine lordship and your insight and your wisdom is perfect, that we would begin to be worthy and where we fall short, that they would have grace. But that they, in their infinite patience, would continue to love and serve us despite of ourselves in order to honor you and not us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name and amen.